Welcome to the Weekend Market Report. I'm Michelle Rupp with Jerry Gahlke, president of the Gahlke Group. Jerry, thanks for joining us. I know you were one of the presenters at the Top Producer Summit this week in Kansas City. So let's talk about some of the takeaways that you have from that meeting.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of good presenters there. And I went to other, I don't want to say competitors, but I guess you could say that. We all try to think that we're the smartest guy on the block. But a lot of good information. And I would say that it kind of shows that the interest, those rooms were, and my rooms were full. In some cases, the smaller rooms, you had to bring in chairs. So people are interested in marketing now, finally, as the prices reached the bottom, not the bottom, but fell further. And I think the positioning of the farmers came out in a survey of about, I would say probably 600 attendees at the morning. And we did a survey where you could answer from your table. And 73% of the surveyed, of those answering, said they're pretty much held to their rotation. They like it. About 13% said they were going to, I think it was, decrease corn, and 17% were going to increase soybeans. But gathering that information was pretty consistent with what we've heard all around, that we're just not going to get the acres reduced in corn. And I'm sure that's being picked up by the media and so forth when they go to just about anybody doing conferences and marketing meetings are seeing the same thing. And I guess the other thing was that there was seemingly convinced me more and more that there's a lot of corn on farmers' hands that's unsold. There was also another survey that was released by some commercial firms, and I want to say, you know, some of the ABC companies, ADM, Bunge, and Cargill, and those people that do that, their conclusion was that only 7% of the producers were using futures and options, which means if they didn't cash contract it, they didn't do anything with the remaining old crop that wasn't originally priced. And there was just a lot of, things were about as negative from a profit standpoint as what we saw a couple of years ago when things were riding high. The other thing that was interesting was the Federal Reserve district manager or president, I guess, of that district in Kansas City spoke last and had some very interesting points. Of course, we already knew that interest rates will probably stay high and for longer, and maybe we get a reduction this fall, but it's starting to really affect agriculture and in the borrowing of money for the inputs. And they came up with the conclusion that for 2024, probably the best case is going to be break even for corn and soybeans, both at prices that were a little bit higher 2 days ago than they are today. And of course, he says, you know, you don't pay bills at break even. And it kind of depends on what they use in their break even, but it takes after cash income to pay some assets, whether it's land payments or machinery payments if they've already been depreciated. So it's probably, and I think they were looking at about a $70 billion reduction in farm net income this year versus last year. And he doubted that that has taken an effect yet. And but he said, and then he did a little presentation about the land and prices and so forth. And he says, we're starting to see some cracks. And of course, the Federal Reserve, and we've gone to a lot of their meetings in the past in Chicago, where they have more of a land-oriented farmland base, and they're usually kind of behind a little bit. And so I'm sure this is data that was used from some time ago. But they said the debt-to-equity ratio wasn't alarming, but that 85% of the assets held by farmers were in land. And that's pretty scary, because you would think at some point in time, price of commodities and also the interest rates would start to affect land prices. But as with maybe the general economy, maybe we're a year too soon when seeing anything. And maybe it's going to take a year of net income reductions in order to have any kind of a result that is significant from a price standpoint. But machinery is getting cheaper. Used equipment, and the implement dealers kind of want to get rid of it. So they're offering interest-free loans if you want to finance it for a year. So There wasn't a lot of good news out of the conference, but it was sure packed with good information.
So you said there was a lot of interest at the Top Producer Summit about marketing grain, and talk about some of the things that you may have shared with them.
You know, from what we've talked in the past, we were using selling of the calls, the out of the money calls. So there were two ways of making capturing that carry, and that was just outright selling the futures or selling calls. Well, it's harder to convince farmers to sell calls and slip the premium because for some reason it's a little more difficult to understand. But when I presented in Kansas City, they shook their heads like they knew what I was talking about. And of course, in the meantime, futures have dropped faster than the call premiums are, but that's worked as well. And but I'm interested in looking at my local basis, and the best thing would have been probably to sell everything out of the field in retrospect, rather than trying to hedge it and try to maintain some flexibility. But it's not over yet. So that's what futures and options are all about. The concern is of how much grain is out there yet in corn, more corn than beans on farmers' hands, it seems. And now we're so far away from even 450 that any kind of a rally and timing wise, I think the market's going to say Jerry and his friends are going to reward the market with a dime increase. The only ace in the hole we have is that once we start planting, the psychology comes out that says, well, if they haven't sold by now, by March 1st, a lot of loans are due, refinancing is due, new loans are applied for. If we haven't done it by March 1st, then probably not going to do it until they get the crop planted. And, you know, that it's, you know, half of this whole business of managing the risk is market psychology and what those that don't farm think about what's going to happen. And goodness, one of the things I heard a lot by old people longtime farmers, I guess, at the Top Producer Conference, and even young folks said, you know, this whole world is a mess, including agriculture. A lot of things just don't make sense. One gentleman says, this is my last year of farming. He was probably in his late 30s. He said, I have a chance. I always wanted to fly, and I'm going to become a pilot, and I won't be farming anymore. So that's what low prices, the stress has got to be mounting out there for a lot of folks that are just wanted to start the business.
And Jerry, following the Top Producer Summit, we had the WASDE report released out on Thursday. A lot of attention here on the South American numbers. Was there anything in the report that changed your outlook?
I was probably surprised as anyone was that they didn't lower both the corn and the bean production out of Brazil, but they also didn't raise Argentina as much as they could have. So maybe that's in the offing yet. And but if you dig deeper into the WASDE report, and it's always a good idea, it's a big report, so I don't download it because the thing is like 40 pages long or more. But if you do it on a computer, you can look up some things. And part of the reason why they saw Brazilian crop not go down so much is that, well, they raised last year's crop a couple of million tons, I believe. And they said there must have been more soybeans because Brazil kept selling them after they thought they were out of soybeans. And that must have been caused by increased acres last year. And they didn't say they had an increased yield last year, but they said the acres must have increased. So that's how they kind of balance the books or justify what they found. And of course, then that meant that they start the acres out higher for this year than they would have otherwise done based upon historical evidence of last year. So had that not happened, maybe they would have lowered this year's crop more. But there's a big, there's a wide divergence, and we deal with a lot of people out of Europe that the American companies that have offices there and so forth. There's still a lot of people in that area that think it's 160 million tons. I think CONAB is out now, lower than that, down to 152 maybe. And there was a private firm that came out, I think, today in the 140s. So there you go. It looks like there's should be a surprise, but the problem with corn, the Safrinha corn, is we're going to be almost harvesting our crop about the time they harvest theirs, and it doesn't seem to matter. You know, you could lower it. It just means that as we start harvesting, they're going to be in the midst of harvest, so you're going to have a lot of corn, and I'm sure that's what's affecting the corn prices, because it looks like that Safrinha crop is probably going to start off pretty decent. They're kind of at even par or even ahead of last year in planting, which continues to be surprises out there. You got to wonder. We always complain about our USDA's news. You got to wonder what kind of news we're getting out of offshore, just how good it really is, because everybody's, looks at a lower price, lower production of both, and the prices continue to collapse.
And Jerry, we have the USDA Ag Outlook Forum coming up next week. What do you think the market is expecting kind of going into that?
Yeah, we have the Outlook Forum Summit coming next week, which is about a week or so earlier than normal. And that is, in the past, has been kind of an updated version of what their baseline approach has been. They use certain yields and acres and so forth based upon the November economic outlook back then. And they will update that on Friday morning with their new supply and demand and acres and so forth. So if they were going to adjust something before, gosh, May, I guess, I don't know. They might want to do it tomorrow. I mean, on Friday, next Friday, a week from now. And with the wide disparity between CONAB and USDA, you'd think there's a meeting of the mind somewhere in there. But that may hold a surprise. And of course, we're one thing about going as low as we are. It's a long time until spring yet, a couple months, and it's a long time till next harvest. So you'd think somewhere along the way you'd get a bounce, but from where is the question.
Thanks so much. And for more information, you can contact Jerry at info@gulkeygroup.com. That's Jerry Gulke, president of the Gulke Group. I'm Michelle Rook with the Weekend Market Report.